Good morning. I'm going to begin this morning by throwing out a word to you, and I want you to hold on to your first thought. The first word that comes to your mind when I say this word, and that word is gentle. G-E-N-T-L-E, gentle. Okay, hold on to your thought now, and we'll get back in a second or two, or a minute or two, or three, or whatever. There's a story told about General George Washington and General Lafayette walking down the streets of a small town in Virginia. And as they were walking down this street, they were approached by a slave. And when the slave got up beside them, he stopped, took off his hat, bowed low, and said, "Good morning, General Washington." General George Washington took off his hat, bowed low, and said, "Good morning to you, sir, and I hope you have a wonderful day." Lafayette was shocked. And as they continued down the street, Lafayette got over his shock. He says, "Why did you bow to a slave?" And George Washington looked at him and smiled and said, "Because he was a better gentleman than I." He was a better gentleman than I. When I threw the word gentle out to you, what did you think of? Jonah? Children? Shepherd? Lamb? My first thought was lamb. Gentle as a lamb. Anybody think of a breeze? A gentle breeze? How many of you thought of a man? Somebody thought gentleman? Really? Christ? Okay. Okay, I was thinking of the word gentleman. We don't much in our society anymore talk of gentlemen, do we? We don't talk of men being gentle. And this is all this is going to apply to women too. But I'm not going to say gentlemen and gentlewomen, gentlemen. When I say gentlemen, it applies to everyone. But we don't necessarily think of the word gentle applied to a man anymore much in our society. Why is that? Why do you think that is? We've been taught to build children's ego lately, haven't we, in the last generation or two or three or whenever, however long it's been. Build their ego. We need to build people's ego so we have more self-esteem. We don't want people to have low self-esteem, so we build their ego. So, and what's that led to? To what does that lead in our society? I believe it leads to a more combative, more belligerent society. Did you see the news clip, any of you here, within the last day or two about road rage? Road rage is at an all-time high. They showed the picture of a guy breaking out a window of a car. Showed a picture of a guy kicking the door trying to get in. And the premise of that clip was that road rage is at an all-time high. There was a clip about the city of Chicago. And this has been a couple of weeks ago. Excuse me. It was just a little over half a year gone by, and the city of Chicago has already set an all-time record for shootings and murders. And the year's not was just barely over half gone. We're killing each other on the streets. Just last night there was a killing in Des Moines. It was on the news this morning. We've become a more combative and a more violent society. We have to be tough, right? We're taught that we have to be tough. We can't show weakness. If you admit you're wrong, if you're soft, then you've shown weakness. And we can't show weakness. We have to be tough. Should Christians be tough? Are there times that Christians should be less than gentle? I think probably so. I think probably so. What does James 4 and 7 say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Aren't Christians supposed to be tough when it comes to resisting sin? I think so. Let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. It says, put on the whole armor of God. We just went through this in our VBS about the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It says, take the shield, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and do what? Withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Not to fall, but to stand. Don't you have to have a little toughness to stand against the wiles of the devil? To resist the sin that pulls us away in our lives every day? We have to have a little toughness. Now you can be tough and be gentle too. I'm not saying you can't. But when we think of the term gentle, we don't generally think of the word strong or tough, do we? But there are times a Christian, I think, needs to be tough. And I think one of the... What happens if we're caught in sin when the end comes? We should resist sin then, shouldn't we? Aren't the ramifications pretty severe? If we continue in sin, if we let it take us, if we don't resist it? Pretty severe implications here. Pretty severe ramifications. So we should be tough against sin. 1 Peter 5 and 9 talks about the roaring lion. And in that verse it says, resist being steadfast in the faith. We have problems in life that drag us down. We have family problems, money problems. Don't we have to be tough to deal with those? Things we can't control. Companies. Corporate America. The pleasures of sin. Moses left Pharaoh's court rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin's pleasure. Says so right in the Scripture. But we have to resist it, don't we? We have to resist it, so we have to be tough against sin. What about dealing with men? What does the Scripture say about dealing with men? Let's go. In our Wednesday night class, we're studying Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot of verses about this sort of thing. Proverbs 11:17 says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. 14 and 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. 15 and 1, a soft answer turneth away what? Wrath. And grievous words stir up anger. 16 and 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. He that's slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. Over and over again in Proverbs, it talks about don't be acting in anger. Stop and think. Don't act in anger. In 1 Timothy 3 and 3, I'll just go ahead and read this. 1 Timothy 3 and 3, there's a word in there that pertains to being tough and not being gentle. Let's see. 1 Timothy 3 and 3, it says, not given to wine, nor striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler. Not a brawler. Not covetous. No, not a brawler. Now you might, you'll sit there and you think, but that's talking about an elder. Yes, it is. It's talking about qualifications for an elder. Not to be a brawler. But shouldn't that be qualities of everyone? Shouldn't everyone have those qualities? Go to Titus 3 and 2. It says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Be no brawler, but be gentle. And who is this talking to here? What is Paul's telling Titus something here? And he says, to speak evil of no man, be no brawlers. Up in the first it says, put them in mind to be, and then he goes down here and lists these qualities. Put them in mind. Who is them? Pardon? Somebody said the Christians, right? Where was Titus? Where did Paul leave Titus? Left him in Crete. So he's talking to Christians in Crete. This verse here isn't pertaining to elders. It's pertaining to Christians. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities. And it goes down there and says, to be no brawlers. So even though you might say in Timothy it's talking about qualifications for an evangelist, this is talking to, in Titus, talking to everyone. It's talking to all men. Put them in mind. The NIV translate that, remind the people. Remind the people. So that's talking about not being a brawler. It's talking about being gentle. And it's talking to all men. And we all know what the Scripture says about turning the other cheek, don't we? Don't we? 2 Timothy 2 and 4. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 2 and 24. This was the main verse of this subject. And it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. The servant of the Lord. That's us. Right? The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Once again, that's talking about the qualifications for an evangelist. Paul's telling Timothy. However, as we see in other scripture, those things apply to servants of the Lord also. I think they'd apply to us just as well. Synonyms for gentle are kind, amiable, polite, tame. A servant of God must be kind, amiable, polite, and tame. And that refers to all men. I ran across an approach to this word gentle, looking through all my material, and it was this. The first letter is G. And that is for good and gracious. Now, we all know what good means, right? Gracious. Among the definitions are kind, benevolent, courteous, merciful, compassionate. Are we always kind, courteous, merciful toward each other? Are we that way toward men? Are men that way toward other men? Is our society that way? Are we going that way? Or have we been taught in our society that you can't show weakness? You can't be wrong. In the corporate world, nobody wants to admit wrong because it shows weakness and you might not move up the ladder. You've got to be tough. You've got to be right. Otherwise, things might not go your way. But what are we supposed to be as servants of God? Humble. We talked in class this morning about humility. Being humble. Recognizing that God is the Creator. He is not on our level. That takes humility. We're pulled away from humility every day, I think. I saw it when I was working. It was pretty bad. But I think Christians, as you go out into society, as you go out into the workplace, you're pulled away from humility every day. You don't see it much anymore. But we're supposed to be kind, amiable, polite, tame, courteous, merciful, compassionate. Ecclesiastes 10 and 12. Ecclesiastes 10 and 12 says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. RG, remember, good, gracious. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Proverbs 11 and 16, a gracious woman retaineth honor. A gracious woman retaineth honor. G, for gracious. E, encouraging, engaging. Engaging meaning willing to listen. Does not the Scripture say to exhort one another? Does not the Scripture say to edify one another? Pray for each other. Bear each other's burdens. Aren't those encouragements? Those are encouragements that we're supposed to do. Engaging. Willing to listen. Willing to listen. We'll get down into more of that later on in another one of the letters. But keep that in mind. We're supposed to be willing to listen. How do we bear each other's burdens or pray for one another if we don't know what's wrong with them? And how do we know what's wrong and what they need if we don't listen? Willing to listen. Engaging. And be nice to one another. Now, as simple, as innocuous as that seems, how deep do we go here? Be nice to one another. I didn't find any direct reference to nice in my Strong's exhaustive concordance of the Bible. But I did find definitions. Pleasing, amiable, pleasantly agreeable, and kind. Be kind. Have we read in the Scriptures anything about being kind? Sure we have. Sure we have. Luke 6. And 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. It says, love your enemies, and it goes down through these points, and then it says, ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He is kind to the unthankful. 1 Corinthians 13 and 4 says, charity suffers long and what? Is kind. Is that not what it says? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Ephesians 4 and 32, be kind to one another. Anybody remember what it says the next two words after that? Tender-hearted and forgiving. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted and forgiving. The next letter is T, for take the time. This is be engaging and willing to listen. Take the time to be patient. In my verse 2 and 24, 2 Timothy 2 and 24, one of the things it says is patient. It says no brawlers, but then it says patient. Be patient with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14 says to be patient with all men. Be patient with all men. I referred back to Proverbs earlier. And how many verses in Proverbs talk about being patient, not to act in anger, not to act rashly? But be thoughtful. Take thought in how you deal with other men. Take thought in how you deal with people. And don't act in anger. Don't act rashly. Take time to cool off. Be patient. L in gentle. Love one another. Love one another. Fourth chapter of 1 John. Now, many of you probably thought about 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter, right? Charity suffers long. The love chapter. Think of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, what does it say? God is love. Right? God is love. Love one another in 1 John 4 and 7. For love is of God. 1 John 4 and 7. For God is love. 1 John 4, 16. Love one another. It's a good song we sing. Love one another, for love is God of God. He who loves is born of God and knows God, for God is love. God is love. The last E is for endearment. Endearing. The word endear is a verb. And the main definition of that verb is to make oneself beloved. To make one's self beloved. How do you make yourself beloved? Things mentioned were acts of kindness, acts of goodwill, caring, being patient with one another. I think we probably, as Christians, as members of the Church of Christ, we're probably pretty endearing to one another, I think. I think we do pretty good with cards and letters and phone calls to people who are hurt or ill or under the weather. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, it was about the time of our Labor Day meeting, I was down and I had hurt my back and I couldn't get out of bed. And I got several visits, lots of cards, lots of phone calls. One of the members brought me chocolate muffins. Chocolate muffins. They're pretty good. Another member brought me a double whopper with cheese, which, as we all know, is the best fast food sandwich on the planet. But I had visitors. We had visitors. I had cards, letters. I appreciated them. And I think we all do a pretty good job of that. But we need to think more, I think, in our daily life as we're drawn away. Be gracious. Be encouragement. Be nice. That's how we endear ourselves one to another. Be gracious, encouraging, nice. Take the time. Be patient. Be loving. Be gentle. I don't know how many times when I was in the workplace that I saw people never admitting anything. Haven't you noticed in our society, in our news, nobody admits anything, do they? How many times do you see people that are going to trial for something and the evidence is stacked against them and they still don't plead guilty? Now, maybe there's legal ramifications of that, legal reasons, I don't know. But it seems like the overall perception in our society is not to admit anything because it shows weakness. And when you hear the word gentle, do you ever think weakness? Because I think that's what society perceives, and I think that's what pulls us away from that sort of thing. And we have to be on our guard, because God wants us to be gentle and forbearing and meek and humble with each other. And we have a society that pulls us away from that. They had a guy being arraigned the other day for something on the news, and he had changed his plea from guilty to not guilty. And it seemed to me that was pretty cut and dried. But he changed his plea. Folks, we ought to be able to see our society going downhill. You know, I've mentioned before that the shooting was a big deal. Shooting somebody at one time was a big deal. Now it's an everyday occurrence. Is it not? Seems to be an everyday occurrence now. I mentioned before when we were living in Bedford, Iowa, probably 25, 30 years ago. We went to the West Road Shopping Center in Omaha to shop. And I remember the first time somebody got shot in Omaha at the West Road Shopping Center. It was a big deal. You know, they had news coverage of it. It went on and on. Now what happens? What happens today? There's a report on the news of somebody getting shot every day. Our society is not as gentle a society as it used to be. Mankind does not love one another as they used to. But what does God want? Because when we stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, what does it boil down to? It boils down to what God wants. It's going to be what God wants. And what does God want? He tells us right here. And we should know what it says. We should know that He wants us to be kind to one another, to be gentle to one another, to forbear one another, to bear each other's burdens, to pray for one another, to exhort and edify and uplift one another. And we have a society that's pulling us away from those concepts. My message is, a gentleman is a gentle man. A gentleman is a gentle man. Let's be gentlemen. Let's be gentlemen in our persona. Let's just be a gentle man as a part of our being. Because that's what God wants. I'll leave you with those thoughts today. We'll offer the gospel invitation. If you've not become a member of the Christ body, we invite you to do that at this time. We also invite you to come forward if you have any other need that needs to be addressed before the congregation as we stand and sing.